Hello, 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 folks, and welcome back to the Laundry Room Podcast with me, your hostess with the mostest that enjoys a Sunday roastess. It's Roxy Tumbledryer. How the fuck is all doing? Yous are well, and yous are looking well. And you know why you're looking well? Because I can't fucking see you. It's vocal only. Welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Room Podcast. Would you believe I've been doing drag today 15 years? And by today, I mean the 10th of February, because you could be listening to this in a month's time. Who gives a fuck? Anyway, I'm joined today by a fabulous guest, one of Northern Ireland's fabulous biggest comedians. It's the one, the only, the fabulous Butler.
Wow, what an intro. That was class. That was maybe two. Do you know what reminds me that I was recently doing a gig, and I'll not say it because I don't want to give away who it was, but I was doing a gig and I was being introed on to the stage, and the guy goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is unbelievable."
Oh, I thought he was just going to, "Ladies and gentlemen, this guy."
No.
He
was going, "This, you're going to see this guy in the SSE arena very soon." And I'm like, "Stop hyping me up. Stop, you're making me so, I'm a loser. I'm a nobody. Like, don't be." He was like real, and the audience were like, "Well, we're going to see someone very, Kevin Hart's about to walk on stage." Ooh, and then I'm like,
"We tiny black man."
It's just, I mean, yeah, so similar. Yeah. The depends on your definition of black, but yeah. Good to be here. I mean, the room we're in right now, it's very hard for me not to just look at everything and be in awe, because it's like an overload of the senses in the best way, because people who are listening, they can't obviously see. It's just like your outfits, your wigs, your posters. It's almost like being in a museum of the last 15 years of your career. Right,
yep. It's like, welcome to the Museum of Embarrassment. I dress up for money as a woman, and it's great.
Yeah.
Taxi drivers flirt with me, and I tell them to fuck off.
Do taxi drivers flirt with you?
Mad as fuck.
If you get into their taxi and you're wearing like your get up and you're going home.
We have now. There's a guy delivering. Shout out to wee John the taxi man. Sorry, wee Paul the taxi man. Call of him. He's called the Dragmobile. Got a wee sign all, and he pick us up. He's not a pervert or fuck all. Like, he'll just be like, "Roxy, I pick you up this time. I collect you that time." That's why I just get go done. Nobody sees me in the street. I just am away like a bat in the night because he's waiting to go. But usually, if you get into just a normal phone a cab, they're like, "All how you started is to go, what are you at tonight?" I'm like, "I'm in the back." I'm like, "Fuck all, sit like that." Oh, fuck all. Trying to be as unsexy as possible, because you know what they're like, dirty birds. And then they go, "Do you know Teddy Von Tramp?"
Of course,
and that's how you know they're ready to
they're old
talk, they're talking business. And we're like, "Oh, do you know Teddy?" Why? He goes, I'm like, "Do you know?" And I go, "Well, what about her?" And then they say somebody's name completely wrong, and I'm like, "I know her too." And then it's like, I remember one time pulling up in my apartment at the docks years and years and years ago, probably year four of this shit, and he goes, "What do you think of that?" And I went, "What do you mean?" And I looked in the front, and there was the deck out full go. But it was only the size of an acorn.
Right.
I burst out laughing at it, and he goes, "That's 750 I was like, "Fuck me, that's fucking less than 750 an inch. Get away the fuck." And he goes, "You owe me money." And I told him the fuck off, walked through the gate and skipped away with a handbag. I was like,
wow.
Just flashed. I thought it was amazing. Nobody does it anymore. Like,
so when a taxi man says, "Do you know Teddy?" that somehow is an undercover covert phrase of, Do you want a bit?
Sometimes, yeah.
Is that an insult to Teddy, or is that like, is that speaking to Teddy's reputation, or what's the deal with that?
Oh, Teddy's famous amongst them all. Fuck yeah. It's Teddy cabs.
Is Teddy still going?
Oh, fuck. He's going more than anything. Fuck,
Teddy must be in their 60s at this point.
No, Teddy's 27, 28.
Right, and dry gears,
and meters and height, massive, big
bastard. Right.
Teddy Von Tramp was in her 50s. She's done an episode of this a while ago as well.
Told
me all of her secrets, and I was like, "Yeah, the taxi dream." The man, she goes, "Well, I have a, that's just my way." Like, she does. I'm like, "You can't."
That Teddy should have, I believe, like their own. Not reality show, but it would be nice if like BBC and I or someone commissioned a program to just like interview them and talk about that. Like,
she's done a couple of things like that.
I know they probably have, but like one that's just focused on
the daily carry on of it.
Yeah.
When he's Teddy is dressed as Robert, run to the shops with a bald head.
It's been about since like forever. It is. My friend did a short series of documentaries with Channel 4 probably about 10 years ago on the LGBT community in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and I helped him out a little bit on, so I went to Maverick a few times, and
remember that night. It must have been a Thursday night or something, because I was out, and I was like, "I know that fella's face, was you standing at the door?" And I was like, and I can don't ask me how I can, because I remember some weird fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just was kind of like, maybe I was like, who's that really good looking fella that door? What's the yeah. I don't think I was working, but she was doing some sort of countdown or something. I can't remember what it was.
He was doing. He was doing a documentary that was on drag queens. Was part of it. There was also a part of it where he would talk about subcultures of the gay community, like bears and things like this.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But the one on drag queens, he was like, "Will you come down with me to Maverick to meet some of the drag queens tonight? I don't want to go on my own and just." But and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing anything else." So we went down and met. We didn't meet Teddy, but Teddy and me, when we walked into Maverick, when you're a straight guy and in there, you immediately think, they're going to think we're gay and all, bet you, like, wait, do you see? And the total opposite of anything. Teddy stood up in the middle and goes, you two are straight. And we were like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we are. And we were like, how did they know? And then you look about and then you go, yeah, of course we're straight. Like, look how well made up everyone is. Like, look how clean everyone is. Like, look how well moisturized everyone's face are. Me and you're standing here in, like, hoodies from Primark, of course.
Everybody's fucking.
We're the straight ones. And then we met Anya Bex, who was just starting drag at that point.
Fuck yes.
And so the juxtaposition in the documentary was, I think it was Lady Portia and Anya Bex, and it was comparing that, you know, Lady Portia had been about it for so long, and Anya Bex had just started.
And it was just sort of, this is how you're starting it, and then this is what happens when you've been doing it so long, you look like her.
But now Anya Bex is still going, so Anya Bex is probably like more of a, you know, figure now, because
there, as the years pass, then there's other ones begin, you're like, hello. And it's the same as comedy as well. I'm sure you've been like, there's comedians and all coming up now, and they're like doing the Pavilion on a Monday. I've went there a couple of times, like, right.
Have you ever done the Pavilion on a Monday?
No.
Have you ever done stand-up outside of the context of, like, your own solo shows or anything?
Always want to do it, though. It's one thing that I'm like...
What's stopping you?
Thing is, I would... just had a small stroke there. I've been questioned.
We're really getting into the inner thoughts of you now. Let's figure it out.
I always just assumed, I assume you assume, that if I was to get it up all into my drag shit and land into places like the Laverage or whatever it is, or people would be like, what the fuck's this?
Would you ever do stand-up just out of drag, like the way you are now?
Probably, but I'm like, I think the drag gives you that armour. Well, I find I'm like, haha.
So is there a little bit of, not, is there a wee fear, insecurity that if I'm not in the drag here, I have to be vulnerable and actually be the real me, and that's like a little bit scary?
Sometimes, yeah. You're kind of like, oh, whereas drag is, I don't know, a character appears. It's really strange to explain it. You could be getting ready and go, and then as soon as you put on an eyelash or something, you're like, boom, fucking, and you just... the Tourette's of evil.
And you can always blame the character. You can be like, well, I didn't die on my arse, Roxy did, or I didn't like do a bad joke or a racist joke.
Always, because I always start my shows with, folks, if I say anything tonight that may upset or offend anybody, please be aware that I don't give a fuck. And then there's a bit of laughter and everybody understands, and if I say
quite current and topical.
Quite current topic there. We're going to cut that right out of there. So, well, I remember.
Beep. No, you shouldn't cut it. You should beep it so that people have to guess what it actually is that you just said there.
What was that word I just wrote? Or just said there?
But yeah, so you wouldn't... I think it would be good if you just went up... Go to the Pavilion some Monday night. Just rock up. Not in drag. And just do 5 minutes.
Okay.
Like, why not?
Yeah, my thing is like, fuck, I do 5 minutes and I'm still there 20 minutes later because I don't fuck up.
Well, here's the thing. I think they do flash. They do flash.
I had to get my friend and my stand-up guys to be like, right, sit at the back of the room, and when I'm 45 minutes in, flash your torch so I know. Fucking just before 45 minutes was up, I was like, you ended with like a minute and 20 seconds to go. I'm like, fucking getting good at this now. Give me my next one.
Yeah, but no, I think you should... do way more, like, especially if you're interested in it, like, I mean, you could do it in drag as well if you wanted, but that also involves a process that you have to go through of hours long. Sorry to interrupt you, there's a few comedians who do like some different stuff, like, for example, there's a guy, Sean Hegarty, who's a great comedian, and he'll sometimes do a lot of stuff that involves musical keyboards, props and things, and he'll show up to a gig sometimes with like this suitcase and he'd have to put an aux cable in, and he has to like do all a whole stuff. Preparation, and I'm like, I couldn't be bothered with that. I don't care how funny the joke is. I it's just so much easier to just show up to a gig, you in your own clothes, go up to the microphone, do your 5-10 minutes or whatever, get the big laughs and go. I just prefer
100%. I'd be like that sometimes with like numbers. I have actually an outfit there. I'll show you when we take a break. But it's literally big giant arms that are like about 3 meters long. But it doesn't fit into suitcases. She's to carry the bastard like a big fucking special arm. It drags a straight. I guess it's my special sister.
It's
fucking again. But you're like, it's funny to do it on stage, but it's the whole logistics of it. So I go, not the night. You'd set me good 3 years ago. Not tonight. No. You did think, and then I'm like, get it out the fuck. You got it made. Swing game arms and bait somebody. I remember I smacked a Chinese girl in the audience with it. And she was like, oh, right. And thought it was great. Just like, thank you. I was like, no problem at all. The arms and all are covered in lipstick. I've been baiting people with the arms. You just run past smacking people with the big arms.
Yeah.
But tell me this. I have a range of questions because we were getting into my psyche. Sure, I was like, fucking, I don't want to stand up. I'll do it from behind a burqa. No problem at all. I'm like,
I think I might be warm. Go for it.
I could be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a real pun there, but it wasn't coming out. It'll come to me later
for burqa. Yeah, it's a hard one, to be fair. It's hard to do it without offending someone. That's the real challenge.
As I say, if anybody's offended, I don't think they'll be listening to this podcast anyway if they are.
Yeah.
But tell me, how did you get into stand-up comedy? How did you get into it?
I
remember seeing you years ago on Naughty Shore. If anybody's an old schooler from Bebo days and stuff.
Oh, I still get people talking to me about Naughty Shore. I still get like messages about it. I still get people coming up to me.
You were the half a head character, weren't you?
I was a guy called Sammy who had like some sort of accident the accident was, because we developed it in like a further episode, was that he was auditioning for X Factor and he was tap dancing during his audition and he tap danced too fast, so his feet went on fire and he just caused absolute chaos, and that ever since then he wasn't the same. But yeah, that was the whole thing behind it all. That was the backstory, the origin of Sammy, if you will. But yeah, so we did Naughty Shore, but before Naughty Shore, like, it was just one of those things. It's probably easier growing up, the stuff that influences you. Like, I always used to watch like stand up when I was young. I used to watch comedy when I was young.
Same.
So I mean, I'm like, some of my earliest memories are just watching funny films from like 6-7 years old, Dumb and Dumber, all these sort of movies.
You
watch all these things and you go, oh, I'd love to do that one day. And then you get older and you go, oh, this is actually much more work than it looks like on the screen. Look,
like Billy Connolly or Lee Evans, I used to watch them. Billy Connolly was so funny.
They were big at the time, because we're the same age. So when we were growing up, I always remember like just VHS videotapes of Billy Connolly in my mum and dad's house.
And same with Granny Grandad and all. I was like, put that on. They're like, he's dirty. I was like, I love it.
Yeah, do you know the thing about it was, like, I used to watch it and I didn't get a single joke, but I just knew, oh, he's a funny guy. Yeah, just because, like, sometimes you don't get it, but you just are like, yeah, that's... And then, like, weirdly, I was really into American comedians, and I used to love American TV, and that is probably my number one influence. Like, UK comedians, not that I don't like them or anything, but I would just lean or sway more to the American audience a little bit, just because I like their comedians, you know?
Who's your favourite American comedian?
Eddie Murphy's, like, my number one. Like, he was probably the biggest inspiration, even, like, in terms of when I did my Africa show, like, you know, there's probably some hints of like the promotion and stuff like that, where I was looking at like Eddie Murphy, and he's a strange case to me as well, just because he hasn't done stand-up in so long, but when he did it in the 80s, he was like that. He started when he was like 20, got his big break at 20, and when he did his first stand-up special, Delirious, where he's in the red leather suit, he's only 22 there, 23, and you're like, how can someone so young have created something just so because it still holds up today. So, yeah.
You could still listen to it and go, that's it. Like, I watched, what do you call that film he was in? Police.
Beverly Hills Cop.
It was all on Netflix. And whenever I have to do my makeup, I always put something on to watch, because silent rumour music doesn't do it for me. So I'm like, oh, fuck. I ended up like, oh, that's fucking great. I had to come home from work as fuck, quick as anything, to get number two on, right?
Yeah, the second one
do
off.
Do not speak to me for 3 days. I'm watching fucking Police Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop.
And then it came to this, the most newest one. I was like, no. Give me the old ones. Or better.
I know. I mean, he's older now. He's been out of it. He's just like, he's just collecting money at that point.
But like, Eddie Murphy, why did you fuck Mel B?
Forget about that. And then he also had that thing with the, I don't know if it was a cross-dresser or maybe it was a transsexual person, but it was like an issue where, and I think that person went on to like kill themselves and stuff. It was quite dark. If you look it up, there's something
that's
where
he got his inspiration for Big Mama's House.
Nutty Professor. He was like, I want to do drag.
Oh no, Big Mama's House was Martin Lawrence. Yeah, sorry, black person.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I got that wrong.
It's all good.
My next question was, what was going to be your influences? There we go. That was fucking
Eddie Murphy's
all
one. Like, a lot of African American comedians, like Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, Kevin Hart more so in the later 2000s.
Did you get to meet him when he came here?
He
was here for what, fucking 3 years?
It felt like it,
quite a while.
I got to go and watch the shows a lot because I knew Shine Promotions, who were managing all that sort of carry on, and Shane and stuff obviously was doing support and things I got on them. He breast passed me, but that was the height of it.
Speaking of height of it, what height was he?
oh man, he's short. he is short. Like, yeah. Like, legit, yeah. I mean, I'm 5'8 or whatever, but he was shorter than me.
Again. Like, oh my God, that's a wee child out of school. I'm like, yeah, is this your first gig, 19?
And he was surrounded by all the bodyguards, let me tell you. It was funny, he had a real system where he would, basically his manager would message, he would do these shows at the Limelight, and his manager would message the Limelight being like, Kevin will be there in like 17 minutes. Like, it was so precise. It was like, and right enough. And basically the process was, as soon as Kevin arrives, gets it. Now you think, if we arrived at a gig, we wait about, we go backstage, we chat to the other, probably like when you do drag, like you talk to people in like, the backstage. The blah, blah. Yeah.
I'm outside, somebody going, would you come outside and get me? I'm in the taxi.
His process was, get out the taxi. As soon as he starts walking from the taxi, his next step is to go straight to stage. He's just like straight to stage, does the gig, and then straight out again, back in the taxi.
Oh, I love a bit of dressing room banter. It's like, even for us in a show, you're like, yeah, fuck, you look like a piece of shit. You know, like slagging each other. Like, your dress looks like muck, fuck you.
Yeah.
Give it a boom curtain when you're ready, because you're already had about 4 drinks in your t-shirts and you're going to fucking go out and slay it.
Just a different level with him, though, because obviously he's done so many gigs over the years that he's like happy enough just to be like, just put me straight on, off again. He was shooting like a movie for a 12-hour day and then going and doing the gig, so he's probably just like, it's just work to him.
Yeah, it's just work. It's kind of like years ago when I worked for Boombox and the Maverick, we used to get the RuPaul's Drag Race when it was at its height. Well, it's still at its height, but it's kind of reached its fucking, you know, there's a lot of it now. There's drag queens falling out of fucking trees now, there's that many of them. But there used to be, when they came, like once every wee while, it was like, oh my God, wow, such and such. Seriously, some posters are in this room with the cunts on it. And I lost my train of thought.
Oh, sorry, you were talking about RuPaul being at its peak, and like, there was some of them, drag queens.
I do that a lot. I lose my train of thought. Some of the queens would not have mingled with myself and the co-host Rusty Hinges.
Oh, they would have been
like, I want a private room. I'm like, there was only one or two of them. I was like, you rude bastards. Because we were like the good Northern Irish crack. Like,
do you want a drink?
I offered one of them a bag of gear, and then we all had to hide because she was offered tits. So I was like, whoops.
What's gear? What would define gear?
Like you know, the gears of like an engine of a car. Like, do you want that? It's like, I'll take all them metal spokes.
I mean, any wonder they wanted their own room. You're handing them that sort of thing.
Toot de la route, Cocania and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And this mad bitch was on it. I'm like, right, we can't get her out of here. Go and hide upstairs. So we all had to hide in the club until they got her out of the place. This mad American fucker.
Okay.
Like, right, that was great. I was like, don't do that again. I was like, sorry, I'll try not to. But yeah, it was kind of a bit mad. They didn't want to sit with us and stuff. So we were like, man, fuck you, dickhead. And we just come on and said, give it up for her. And that was it. Like, me. Bastard. So I still watch him on stage years ago and go, you were rude to me when you came here, you fucker.
Yeah. RuPaul's still pretty big then, yeah. The show.
Yeah, he's on like, fucking, I don't know, season 3000. I don't know now. It just keeps coming and going. There's Philippines, there's Spain, there's fucking Drag Race Armagh, fucking Drag Race at fucking Fermanagh and all. I'm like, right, we're just coming out. Wait, like, bang, but it's like prides. They're turning up everywhere. It's like Belfast Pride.
Oh, yeah, there is a lot more prides when you think about it. Yeah,
Ballymena Pride. And I'm like, they'll be coming out with fucking pitchforks and Ballymena.
I was going to say, Ballymena Pride is not going to be well attended.
Well, it's actually still coming on this year.
Is there a Ballymena Pride this year?
Mid and North Antrim Pride, yeah. Don't quote me on that.
Would they get protesters out? Like people from the Green Pastures Church and all that sort of carry on?
Of course, you get all them headers everywhere, for fuck's sake.
Do they get in Belfast, though? Is there still people in Belfast Pride protesting?
On the Pride Day, they're always at the City Hall, but they're not as big as they used to be now. There's only about 4 out
of Ozempic?
They're all Dan on. Well, that too, for fuck's sake. There used to be big fucking preachers. Now they're like wee thin preachers.
Yeah.
There was a couple of outlaws. There's only a couple of outlaws now, and you always go past in the DJ. Stick on that gay tracker, yeah, fucking you bastards.
Yeah.
But they don't really. I don't know. I think they're all just dying off, and people are just like,
I mean, yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Just live your life. You could be dead tomorrow.
Yeah, it's progressive.
It's very true. You'd be dead tomorrow, and it's just like, do whatever makes you happy. If you want to go into the kitchen and eat a whole box of Golden Circle biscuits, fucking go for it, you Christian bitch.
Mm.
And then use the box for someone. You don't want things. Like, I get you. Yourself.
Yeah, it's different times.
I know. We're going to take a short break here. I'm going to go show and iron my biscuit box full of loads of sewing bits. We'll be back in just a second. Here's some words from our sponsors.
For the Laundry Room Podcast Live, Thursday the 27th of February, 2025. At Union Street Bar, The Shoe Factory, Belfast. Doors open 8 p.m, showtime 9 o'clock. Special guests Rusty Hinges and Severina Bewitch join Roxy Tumbledryer for the usual hilarious podcast banter, but live on stage. Grab your tickets now. Details are below in the description.
Hi, hi, hi. Welcome back to the Laundry Room Podcast, where I am joined this week by 1% African gentleman from DNA Results, Aaron Butler.
That's true facts right there.
That is true facts. Right there.
Yeah, yeah. God bless 23andMe for giving me a great bit of stand up to base a show around.
Is that what it was based around?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of. Well, funny enough, it was coincidental when I did. So this is my stand up show, Africa. When I did it, there was that. I did the DNA test for a laugh, first of all, also because I was just bored and had too much money and was like, oh, let's spit in a tube and send my DNA out.
Living with your parents, and you're like, fuck, yeah. I have money to burn here. Like,
oh, you really did when you do that. Like, oh. But so I did that, and then it came back, and there was a bit of African on the DNA, and I busted out laughing. I was like, that's so ridiculous. And then it was only like maybe a year or two later, I was like, oh, that could maybe be like a bit of a routine. And then a year or two after that, I got offered to work in Africa for like a few days for a charity organization. And
that's right, I remember seeing that in your stories.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What were we doing over there?
Sorry, say that again.
What, were you buying children or?
I mean,
going to the source? Yeah,
it's awful to say this, but it did feel like a lot of the mothers were sort of looking at you being like, if you were to take my child right now, I'd probably be happy enough, like, because you'd be bringing it to a better life, you know? Like,
giving you the glad eye and all, like.
Yeah, they, oh man, it would break your heart though. You're like, fuck. Oh, you're like, you sort of, it put, like, not to be a bit of a downer, but you sort of, because flipping, you know, comedian or whatever, but you do get a perspective of like, we're all right here. We're like, you know, yeah. You, like, I know we complain about, oh, it's rainy or it's fucking blah, blah, blah.
I've no gas for 2 days. Like, yeah. You just put a blanket on.
The bus is late. They're fucking all the road works in city centre.
Then you've got some doll hacking a sack of rice across fucking 7 kilos. And you're like, right, okay. 7 kilos, oh, fucking 25 miles. You're like,
Yeah. They legit, they, like, watching them, like, do that thing where they carry it on their head into the village.
If, like, round, I live around here where I live now. Yeah, you can see a couple of girls doing it. They're baiting down with their shopping from Lidl.
I've seen a girl doing it in West Belfast and it blew my mind.
There she is.
Like, I couldn't. But I it was recently when I came back from the Uganda trip. It was maybe like a few months after that. And I thought I was maybe having some sort of nightmares or daydreams or some sort of terrors about going back to Uganda. Because on the Falls Road was a lady, African lady, walking up in jeans and a nice t-shirt or whatever. But on the head was just full Lidl bag. And I was like, and no hat, just
envy.
Just,
I'm like, fuck, if I could carry him against you'd be taking props to gig if you get them in your head. You're like, where's that fucking, where's them arms that Roxy has?
But yeah, it's amazing, like, the balance they have. That's, and balance. Just the, yeah, yeah, it's just something they do from a young age. And
off you go, weird bits.
It's, but yeah, seeing it on the Falls Road was quite a surreal experience.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a wee girl called Clodagh and she lives in Poglas. She's like, I'm carrying my bits in my head.
Here, you know what I mean?
The hairspray, this hair, that solid, it was like a level. I'm like, let your woman go wear rings and all for balance. Go on, girls. You can't beat West Belfast neither. Different kettle of fish.
Oh yeah, that's born and raised. That's me. Like, that's my people. That's
West is,
you
know, best.
Yeah.
I always do a thing. Anybody from North Belfast, you gotta be even. Anybody from South Belfast? Yeah. And I turn and go, my God, you're not students of Romanian. I'm shocked. Yeah. And then you get it out of a titter. I'm like, I'm just telling you what the demographic of the area is. Then I go, and West Belfast, the place fucking vibrates.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, watch your handbags and purses, and if you have a colostomy bag, make sure it's attached to be away with anything. They take the eyes out of your fucking skull and the pish bag from your knickers. And it's that. And they're like, we don't steal. We only steal good stuff. I was like, oh, fuck, here, great. But they're, oh, type of girls with, like, me working for an airline, there was type of women, anything to declare, and they'd be that quick. Like, what did you say about our Claire?
I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, fuck me. Only says, do you have anything to declare?
Yeah. Like,
what did you say about our Claire? Ready, always, what do you call that? Just waiting to pounce type of thing.
Oh yeah, West Belfast, different breed of woman. I would never want to get on the wrong side or upset a West Belfast woman in the slightest. You know, I was raised by a house full of them, so
you just got that look.
Yes, you knew your place, like, you knew.
Oh God! Like, nowadays, I find kids are like, right, come on, darling, and they're like, nah. And yeah, whenever we were younger, your man just looked at you and you're like, right,
yeah, okay. You told the line.
Don't even fucking dare. My man just went, hey, and you're like, don't fucking dare. You get the head taken off, you just get punched to the fucking temple, and you're like, right, I'm up there again. And then
you remember you could just dig kids.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I hit one way a trolley the other week in Tesco, in my way, burling in a circle. I was like, maybe be cunt. And I just went, boop, straight at it. I was trying to get rid. Then there's pensioners talking, and I don't love him changing weeks. Fucking move. Take your conversation away from the chicken.
See, not to make this a gay or straight thing, but I feel like, because you are gay. By the way, if this is a reveal where you go on and I'm straight right now, that'd be
actually
funny.
Actually, have a wife.
Yeah, and two kids.
The kids live in this room.
I feel like gay guys can just probably use the Tesco shopping trolley to hit kids with and just be sassy about it and be cute about it, and it's funny. But if I do it, it's just
like,
full.
You just hit that chair. I'm like, and what?
Yeah. And what? That's
and what?
And what?
Or sometimes I'd go, oh, sorry. I've always played stupid. And I'm not sad. I just don't know about it. In my own world. Just like, oh, sad. Didn't see you. But people are like, I find even when you're shopping, they're right on top of you. Like, there was a fella in the queue, like, had one thing. And I turned around and was like, is there any need for you to be inside me, sir?
Mm.
He was that close. And he was like,
it's the taxi man from earlier.
Fuck. I was like, did you know today? I was like, for fuck's sake, have I told you 3 times? No.
You're just trying to get your shopping.
Like, people ask you, I'm only in here. It's just 3 days later. I'm trying to get my fucking bacon bits. And do you know today? Like, fuck off.
Depends what shop you go to and what time you go to. You see, I would be very selective on the places I go for shopping and the time. Now, the beauty of self-employment is that I can go, I'm pretty flexible. Do you know what a great time to go to like an Asda or an Iceland or something is? Saturday at about 8 o'clock in the evening. No one's about. They're all partying, they're all in the house, they're all doing their thing. It is very, that's a good time to go.
Do not go on a Friday to anywhere.
Oh,
that's pensioners. Go to Tesco's in Newton Abbey. I made the mistake of driving up there and ended up fucking just abandoned the trolley and walked off.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, it's out, all's out. And then they're all fighting for the, I love watching people fight over the clearance. I'm like,
oh yeah.
They're all, the wee girl's like fucking with her life, like doing shh, and they're literally getting closer and closer. And for her to try and get out of there without getting completely trampled, I'm like, that's a race for the death. Like, who's on reduced section? It's like, right, it's Claire, she's stealth. I'm like, right, go Claire. Wait, like, fuck.
Per Claire, Claire. She got the bad shift.
The neck and all, fucking, and a neck brace. What happened? I moved too quick yesterday and I'm fucked. I'm like, there was a chicken thighs for a pound. Somebody there took her head off.
The old people got me.
They're literally like ready to go. And I'm like, it's just shite that's.
Oh yeah,
like it's been left out on like at the counter, like no, maybe somebody's sausages or an old cream bun has been sitting for 3 hours. I'm like, you don't want that, and it's only been reduced by about 5p.
I don't have that in me where it's like, you know, you're just constantly trying to like beat around to get like the next thing. Like, no way people go to like these Chick-fil-A's all the time. People go into the fucking, or when you know Krispy Kreme donuts is open,
and apple greens for hours over your fucking chicken burger.
I just, you know what, in a year's time it'll still be there, and no one else will be there. It's fine.
They'll be there, like, whatever. Oh, like, shit. They all run for it. Like,
it's so true.
This. Or Krispy Kreme's opening and everybody in Victoria Square we're getting boxes of them. I've tried Krispy Kreme many times. I've come through London and they're that fucking sweet. It gives me a headache.
They are sweet.
And your eyes are like, holy good fuck. Am I having a fucking seizure?
Yeah.
There is something about them. You're like, I can eat half of that now and then I eat more half in 3 days when the blood sugars come down.
The problem with, they are diabetes in a bun. Like, the issue is with them though is that they're so light. So it's like, you don't feel like you're eating a proper donut. No, like a bakery donut where you're like, oh, this is heavy. This is good.
Loving
a
gravy ring rolled sugar. I can
take the peelers out with this. Like,
and you're like, right, look, many want the bag and the fucking sugar. Like,
those are good. But and look,
I want them right now. I'm like, I can't get them anywhere unless you go to a good bakery, like a good fucking Shangle Road, Fold Road bakery. You're like,
I know.
A gravy ring.
Stop it.
I'm writing out a gravy ring. Find one today.
Find a gravy ring.
Find a gravy ring before 4 o'clock a day. All the bakeries
sounds
are closed.
Like a gay euphemism as well, doesn't it?
Here, love, let's see your gravy ring. Do you know today? Like, anything sounds like a fucking euphemism in gays. Like,
it can do.
Show us your makeup.
But that's
brush.
Your superpower. That's like your thing.
Yeah, you can kind of. It's like me on in my other job with Cabin Crew. You say things to people. They're like, "Can I get the Cadbury's fingers?" I'm like, "Oh, you're getting fingered today." And they're like. I get away with it. Some other wee girl said that you're getting fingered. I'm like, excuse me. I'm like,
I would love to get you on one of my flights. Like, if I'm on EasyJet or something, that'd be class.
Right. People
be
think like, that I'm going to be like dancing and getting on like fucking, you know, like the old minstrels. Like, ah,
but you're just like,
I'm like,
you're over it.
Everybody, they all look like bodies. It's 186 people in seats. You don't pick it. You'd be standing going, cheerio, thanks, all the best. And then this big fucking butte getting off. I'm like, where the fuck have you been for the past 3 hours? Oh, way up here. I'm like, where have you been?
Have you ever, I mean, has there ever been in, because remember the EasyJet thing came out where the guys were caught bucking in the toilets. Have you ever been around when something like that's been going down?
Nobody
BJ's or anything?
Nobody wants to buck me in the toilets.
Well, not me.
You see, Belfast people are like...
Too concerned?
See, to be honest, how people buck in that toilet, I don't know, because you can't even sit down for a shite in it.
Right.
Because I even say to the ladies, I'm like, how do you sit down to go to the toilet and then have a whole wipe? And they're like, oh, it's like a whole fucking Tetris box. I'm like, wow.
Use that she-wee thing that they can get. Bring those on toilet.
Into a bottle of water, into a teacup. I'm like, there you are. Give it to somebody you don't like. I'm like, how's your tea, sir? How's your noodles? Is that them noodles you want of the chicken broth? That's why it's yellow.
That's lovely.
Stunning. But there's no space. So anybody who was, I don't know, you must have just been like, right, pivot, go, do something. Don't move. I've seen some people like have like shit in the floor and just not even lifted the toilet. There's shit in the floor and... No toilet roll in the toilet either, so I don't know how somebody's sitting there with dirty arse. Thought that was quite... I was like, who the fuck? I wanted to lift up PA. I was like, who shit down here? It was fucking one of you. Disgusting. Proper Scottish woman. Like, it was fucking one of you.
And do you guys have to, you know, clean that then?
No, we locked it off. And then the cleaners, when we get there, they all come on like wee mice. Like,
just
lock a door. Like, so you're sitting eating your lasagna and just know behind this maybe 3-inch plastic partition is a shite. Just like that. What's happening, chick?
Fucking
and you're
hell.
Just waiting to get to Spain for the Spanish. Like, hola, buenos dias. And like, ah, a large pupu in the lavatorias. And like,
do you get flight miles for all the flights you take? No?
No, not our miles.
Because you're working.
It's easy. They give you none. There's good benefits of the job now. You get staff travel, so like you can go anywhere for 30 quid return.
Oh,
go
that's
to Amsterdam,
nice.
Not tomorrow, but Wednesday for the night.
Oh, that's good. The day. Just to get,
All right, me and my mummy.
Oh, that's lovely. Like,
get her stoned.
We mummy's stoner trip to Amsterdam.
This will be our fourth time, for fuck's sake. She's like, do you want to go to Amsterdam? I was like, all right, come on, fuck.
Does she like the weed and stuff?
Not at all.
Oh, right.
No, she's a diabetic stroke survivor. Just goes.
Oh, wow, that's quite the combo, isn't it?
No, it is indeed. She just wants to go for the cracks. So I was like, mama, go look at the hoers. I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah.
They bang a wind at me and they're like, come in. I'm like, I'd like just bend my wrist at them and they're like,
you need the blue light district because that's the gay one, isn't
there isn't
it?
Even one anymore.
Is there not?
No, it hasn't been for a long, long, long time.
Ah, okay.
I'm a real Amsterdam aficionado. There's a purpley bluey light in one wee side street, but that's what you've been known as cross-dressers or TV girls because you could look down below and there's a bit of a package going on. Like, there's somebody sending something in the mail. You're like,
gotcha.
Aha. Bit of a bulge. You can also tell that's not a real woman as well. Like,
yeah.
Me in that job of dressing up, like, that's a fucking terrible makeup job. I could do better than that working that window. Then I would bang a window at people and then they come over and I'd be like, fuck off, close the blinds. If they're stinking, no. Close the blinds.
Has
50
there...
euros the lowest rate for the ladies?
For
blowjob?
Okay. Good, good to know, yeah.
I know.
Good to know where the market's sitting.
Sucking fuck 50 euros, they shout at the door and all that. I'm like, oh, no, I'm alright, I'm sweet. It's like, I'm getting this shot, the bell of the ducks.
Has there ever been a time where you're on the plane where you've got, oh fuck, this is going down? Like
no.
See, everyone gets a fear going onto the plane where they're going, this is going to be the one that crashes.
People do. They're like, just like grabbing the fucking, the armchair and all the arm of the chair and I'm looking at them going,
yeah.
You tis.
My go-to if I'm ever feeling nervous on a flight is just to always look at the flight attendants because I go, if their face isn't worried.
We're like,
So that's what you should maybe start doing for a laugh to make people nervous.
Really nervous. There's times when we do come through like turbulence and you know it's going to be turbulent because the captain goes, right, we're going to be a bit bumpy when we're coming to land, or there's like, the visibility is maybe about half a meter, half a meter. Fuck, that's like that. Between me to you, say there's a visibility, and that's for anybody listening. You don't see, but it's not far. But literally, there's not much fog. These things land themselves by all.
Yeah, they're like drones, basically.
It just lands itself. They sit there and make sure it all goes well, and you can hear it when I'm sitting in the front. And it's like brr, brr, the autopilot switches itself off. Fucker lands. They text the gate, and I'm like, you open the door. I'm like, where the fuck's the airport? Can't see none. But the thing landed, and there's people going, oh my god, oh PJ, oh god, Santa Maria, and all them. I'm a Protestant. I don't know the names of the saints, but they're all fucking chanting saints' names. And I'm like, right, and then we land. They're like, oh thank god, and I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, we've arrived. Or it comes through the air like a fuck, like it's getting fucking shook by Godzilla, and I'm like, we've arrived in Belfast.
They
like,
say people are very, very highly emotional when they fly because of that. So like,
they're fucking insane.
Everything's heightened. So like, obviously, you see like basically the worst of people probably ways.
The stupidity comes out is unbelievable. You're like, are you a fully grown man? You don't know what the fuck are you doing? I just stand like.
Yeah.
As keep squeezing this coat on top of the bag, I'm like, the thing bevels right.
My god,
what are you ramming that puffer coat in for? You could fold that up into four and put it in your pocket, you stupid
dick.
Yeah,
my pet peeve is people who just don't know how to just organize themselves on travel, like even when they're going through the security gate and you're like, like, oh, you've obviously done it before. Like, you know what's going to happen here.
This is the whole new game.
Yeah. And, like, even people who, like, don't get to put their bag above their head and have to put it a few seats back,
the world? Somebody was like, but I needed why do you need a bag full of dirty knickers above your head?
Tell me.
Or I would say, see why it's above your head? I'm just going to move it to the locker adjacent to you, which then would make sense because you could just go to go and look at the bastard. There's near murder because you're moving the bag. And I'm like, I'd then be muttering, you fucking arsehole. I hope you get dysentery. the things I've wished on people, I'm like, I hope you get the fucking shits when you get off this plane because I don't want you shit on that floor.
You don't want that happening.
Don't want you to land me because there'll be Spanish girls have to get on and wipe up a shit. There's been a couple of ones out of England where the shit's just poured down the because the bogs of something had maintenance happened or something.
Wow.
And the shit just trickled down the aisle and they had to come back. This was in London, a friend of mine told me about it. I was like, it sounded like a real shit day out. Sweep up a shit shift. But yeah, there is benefits to it. People think it's, oh my god, it's so glamorous you get that. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I imagine after you've done as many flights as you've done and been there as
four
long
a day,
as you've been,
back and forward.
You're just like, you're over it.
By about 9:30, you're finishing at 11. People are like, I'm like, could you just fuck up?
So you do four in one day? That's the way it works? Back and forth.
So maybe start like 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you go to Amsterdam and back, and then over to Edinburgh and back. Or there's nights, there's like, just do it over to Newcastle and straight back again, you're done. It's like, I've been in work for 2 hours and not in for another 2 weeks. Happy days. See you then. Bye.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
like,
nice.
And I'm like, no, I've been off on leave since fucking end of January.
Right. Any particular reason?
No, they're just looking for people to take time off. It's like, yeah. See,
they were looking people to take time
off. Because it's the winter and we've got many crew and there's not that many flights.
Gotcha.
So they were like, anybody want time off unpaid? I'm like, see ye, I'm away.
And then do you do more like work on the drag side when you do that, or do you just have like enough money where you're like, I'm happy enough just to chill?
I'm just chilling here, like fucking in this room of shite.
That's
like,
nothing wrong with that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Kind of do my 1 or 2 nights work of drag, sometimes more, depends.
You do that at like Maverick, Kremlin, what's like the, the spots?
I work at Union Street Bar.
Union Street Bar
every Saturday night, and that is about it. Or if people ring me up like, do you want to do a christening, a funeral, whatever? I'm like, oh, sweet. Haven't done funerals now.
I was going to say, that would be quite an appearance if you were doing a funeral. You were burying someone.
I'd find that interesting. I'd be like, well, it's up there with the fucking weirdest things I did. And speaking of my next question, what's been the worst gig you've ever done? Where still sticks in your mind going, fuck.
Oh, man. I mean,
I know we were talking about awkward crowds before we come on, but...
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to... I mean, there's so many. Like, it's almost like they blur into one a little bit. Because they're all the same sort of experience. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to remember a specific one. There was definitely... There was one recently. There was one last year. Was it that last... Yeah. And it was with... I'm trying to remember the name of the drag I was on with, because a drag emceed it. And
oh, God.
I feel really bad now because I should remember their name. Trudy Scrumptious.
Fuck.
I think.
She's shite. I'm only joking. That's my mate.
Yeah.
Okay, big Trudy.
Yeah, a fantastic drag actor who's been about for ages as well, haven't they?
Or just sitting right over your shoulder there in that poster.
That's literally her.
Yep. There it is.
Over my, like, the wee guardian angel looking after me.
Slag her off. Sorry, she doesn't listen to this. No. Trudy, you're fucking annoying.
No, I've thought bad to say. And she was emceeing it. Sorry, I say she. All these pronouns things.
Oh, don't.
Me, but you know what I mean. I'm referring to the drag act.
See, when we're drag queens, just called Dawn. Big lad, big girl. For most, I don't give a fuck.
But Trudy was doing the MC thing, and it was like some sort of charity event, and they wanted like comedy with the drag MC and like a raffle. It was just one of those ones where you're going, this just shouldn't be a gig happening right now. And
the raffle goes on for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know what now? I think Trudy said she's doing a charity gig and the raffle went on for fucking ages. She's like, help me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do go on for ages.
Yeah, some really take the piss with it. Like, I had to do one when I hosted Miss Northern Ireland. And I raffled off the girls.
Like, right, you will have this all these African Arab men. Yeah. Gonna, like, number four, please. You'll come to my villa.
No.
There's me.
I was tearing through them. Like, I would literally go, here. Like,
21, 3, 2, 1, you're too quick. Somebody else trying to get up. Fuck you, I'll come.
Oh, next. I can do a raffle nice and quick.
Like, it's a holiday to Bundoran for two, but no accommodation or travel. I won that. Happy fucking days.
It was just one of those gigs where no one wanted to be there, even the audience. And you're like, I was the last on, just dying on my arse. Like, it was just awful. And then there was one in Dundonald as well. It was pretty bad, where there was just, it was in... the middle, it was near Ballybean or whatever, and it was just
sounds like a really nice social club or
I think it was something like that. And
some of those places are my favorite when you get your drink in a stacker glass that size.
Do you know the thing about it is sometimes you'll go to these gigs, especially ones where it's like, oh, you're doing a GAA club in the middle of Dungannon, and you go, oh fuck, this or you're going, this has every potential to be the worst gig of my life, and they sometimes turn out the amazing best. Where you're like, these ones are up for the crack, they're loving it. But yeah, it's just no two audiences are ever the same. You can never predict it. You never know what you're going to go into unless you're doing like a regular spot at like the Union Street, or I would be doing
even on my Saturday nights. I couldn't tell you. The 1 week it's like couple of girls, straight couple of hen parties and stuff, and then all of a sudden, bang, it's just everybody from everywhere. I'm like, what the fuck just happened here?
I finally know what the worst gig is. Sorry, now that I thought about it. Oh. Here we go. This is the one. I was booked for a Christmas gig at the Koosh Bar. It's a members only bar in East Belfast. It's either called the Cozy. It's called the Cozy. So it's in
East familiar.
It's in East Belfast. It's called the Cozy Bar. Lovely bar, by the way. Lovely members, lovely people. They had booked...
just in case anybody's listening.
Just in case I offend anyone over the next 5 minutes here.
We've already heard an offend away.
Because I'm sure there's some paramilitary members in that bar.
Was it paramilitary bar?
I mean, I don't... I know it's
was it
not,
one of them ones?
I'm only speculating. I'm only talking out of turn. It's probably not. It's probably
I love
lovely
to speculate.
Bar. But anywho, listen, it's basically maybe their version of like the PD in West Belfast, right?
So, oh, fuck, right, okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it isn't, though. I genuinely don't know enough, but all I know is... It was was basically mostly old fellas in this bar, and they were having their Christmas do upstairs, and they were like, we want some comedy for the Christmas do. I got booked through a promotion sort of agency here, David Hull, who does some comedy and events and stuff like that, and he was like, yeah, go there, do 20 minutes, and that's you, happy days. So I arrived at the bar, and some of the members are downstairs. They go, yeah, they're just finishing off their dinner. You'll go up, do your 20-minute set. They go, now, listen, if you're, you know, if you're struggling a little bit, you can make some jokes about some of the guys up there. They were like, one guy in particular, they go, if you're finding it hard, there's one guy up there, we always slag him and say he looks like Michael Barrymore. They go, just say, Irish Michael Barrymore. So I go to myself, right, okay, like, that's something good to have in the back pocket just in case I need it. So
I always like a wee, I call it like a spanner, a crutch or something you've got. Just, it's like these, I've always, with the podcast records, a wee something just.
Yeah, a wee emergency, just in case I need, a wee get out of jail free card from Monopoly, yeah. Right? So I go upstairs and they bring me on stage by going, this wee fella is coming on to do comedy. Wee fella, I was 33 at the time. I'm like, all right,
just that flat intro. Like, yeah. This wee fella's coming on. Are you ready?
Coming on to do comedy. And so it was all old men in their 50s, no women. It was just all fellas, and I just interrupted their night basically. So because they didn't,
I know
they,
that feeling.
Yeah,
you feel like I've just interrupted something here.
I like people always have the idea that comedy at Christmas parties or comedy at charity things, blah blah blah. People just wanna talk to each other and drink. People don't give a fuck about like what acts you book or what entertainment's on. Anyway, I was paid to show up, so I showed up and started my first minute, and started, you always start with like a strong joke to try get into the crowd, and it just flat lined, and I'm going, I need to pull out the fucking Barrymore card early. I was like early, Barrymore's coming out early. So then I see the guy who they told me, I go, who's that guy? Is that Michael Barrymore? Silence, like a deflatable, like a tumbleweed. And at that point, I go, that was the bit. That was like my, that was my fucking golden gem. That was my ace in the hole.
This is where I could go from.
Yeah. Nothing. So then the gig just turned into a 20-minute monologue where I just had to stand on stage and just rehash my material to no laughter, no energy, no, not even a boo. Like, just literally, they literally watched me talk for 20 minutes, and then I just walked off stage.
Sitting.
Yeah, and then you know it's bad when you come off and the manager of the bar is like, do you want a wee Coke Zero? Do you want a wee? That was what he said.
Do you want a wee Coke Zero?
Like, because he knew I didn't drink or whatever, and I was like, no, I'm okay. I was like, listen, I would love to stick about, but I've got to go to my next corporate here. I didn't have another corporate. I just wanted to get straight out of the bar.
I need this washed off me.
Mortifying, absolutely mortifying. And it's wee gigs I got where you go, that's work. That's not fun. That's not why you get into comedy for. Like, but you got to pay a mortgage.
You got to do it.
And sometimes you just have to take. Like, it's like fucking, like, I'm not above anything. See, if you're like, listen, there's a big truckload of money here for you to die on your arse for 20 minutes.
I put a guy somewhere out there, let's go.
I'm gonna, fucking like, right. I did it again last year. I didn't do the Cozy Bar again, but they did do comedy again, but they got someone else and it went the exact same way. It was absolutely shite. The comedian told me, he was like, yeah, I don't know why they do it.
I think them fellas would be the more, they'd want a Bernard Manning type thing. Oh, tell you what about black people. Jesus Christ.
Genuinely, yeah. And they did try get they got a one-liner this year, which should have been better, but it still just didn't work out for me. Anywho.
A one-liner is boom.
Yeah. Nothing.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, but
I have had fucking drag. You feel like people book me for weddings. Like, oh, when you come to the wedding after the dinner.
I've did weddings
after the dinner before the disco, and that is the point where you've had your dinner. Everybody's fucked. Yeah. They've no interest in seeing a man dressed up as a fucking tart coming in and talking shit. Now, a good 80% of them, 85%. Go great, they love it, they're all up there, but some of them are fucking awful because nobody's interested. You feel like you've just interrupted. I'm like, I'm sorry to just interrupt your day.
Yeah,
but one lives with me, and I've told this story a couple of times. People still come up to me and say, what about that when I like, shut the fuck up. But I just, when you know you're down on your arse, I just felt that when you were like, there's nothing, and I was like, and getting a bit of a laugh, and I'm like, and you're the mother of the bride, hello my love, are you angry? If anybody had a bit of banter with her anyways, if anybody wants to know tonight where the mother of the bride will be, she'll be up behind the bins getting fingered by the staff. Laughter, great. I then looked to the side of the stage. You know, there was like a wee wooden floor, so the stage put there. It was the bride just standing, crying her eyes out. Oh. Now, I was booked as a surprise. Bride knew fuck all.
Oh, well, it really was a surprise.
And I was like, go take a short break. I'll see you all in about 10 minutes. Fucking had to get away to the side of the girl who booked me. I was like, what the fuck? And she's like, I thought she'd like this. And I was like, I already had the money in the handbag. I was like, I have to go. I'm away. The bride and her new husband started fucking fighting over. He goes, "Do you want a bit of crack?" She's like, I was away like fuck. Still couldn't tell you who they were or anything about them, but I hope they're still married.
Wow.
I've never felt like, oh my God.
Yeah, that nervous intensity.
It was like, if anybody wants to do shit behind the bins getting fingered, that's just usually my banter. Crack.
Yeah. What do you expect from a drag queen?
Oh, I'm not going to stand there going, the Lord says come forth.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to the couple.
It's fucking, like, well done.
Yeah.
So now I actually have a whole booking process. I'm like, no, you want to book me? That's no problem. Here is what I do.
I'll explain to you.
I want the brides and brides, grooms and grooms, brides, whoever the fuck you're marrying. I want the two of you on the same call together. Do you agree to this? Because if it's something and you're not happy. And then I have to stand there like that again. No chance. So now I do weddings and the fucking love it. And I'm in the middle of grannies and all. Like, fucking sticking my hands up her skirts and all.
Grabbing
the set of old ditties and all.
You're like the pleasure boys. You are fucking.
Slap the big 10-inch dildo that I brought with me in a handbag off their faces. Going, do you like that day?
Class. That's wholesome.
As I say, stick a dress on. Things you get away with. It's fucking great.
Well, yeah, I can imagine. Drag is like such an art to me. Like, because it's encompassing.
Everything.
Yeah, like is there drag artists that lean more heavy on like the lip syncs and the dancing and the music, and then other ones rely more heavy on the banter?
Yeah, there's a lot of, for me, I would say my strength is talking. My strength's all, actually, to be honest. I'm not going to fucking put myself down. Brilliant. I'm fucking brilliant.
Of course,
great. Lip syncing, fucking do more comedy. I love it.
But you enjoy the chat laugh. More.
Love
you enjoy the crowd work more.
If you feel you're getting something in the crowd, it like, spurs you on. If there's laugh that sounds like real, but it's a comedian thing. Or you, if they're laughing, you're going. It's just firing it out, firing it. I'm like, I'm on all fucking cylinders here. Oh my God, this is great. And then I go, we're gonna stop while we're ahead. Do you want some cabaret?
And they're like,
I'll see you in a minute. I'm waiting for a fag. I've done my bits here. Fuck great. But no, it's good fun. I enjoy it. Like, there is nature. Like. It's an effort. It is a fucking effort. People think it's just final dressing away you go, and even people that are wanting you to come think, you can just get. I was like, it takes me fucking ages to get ready, and I'm not. You know, it's not fucking 80 quid and then appear. Get the fuck. There's a fee. It's not cheap. And then people go, I didn't think you'd be that dear. I was like, I didn't think you were that much of a cheap cunt.
Thanks
very much. Get in contact with these other girls. They'll come to your fucking house for 50p.
That's it.
House parties, never again. We don't do those either.
There's a price. Yeah.
Awkward house. Like,
but you say you don't do it ever again. If you were offered the right amount of money, you would do it.
Now, here was a nice big fucking house and one of those ones you'd win in McKinney competitions. That's what I'm saying. One of these big fucking. No, not a fucking 4x4 terrace house in the middle of the West. Like, that's a bit awkward. But if there's a lot of money.
Depends what they're offering. Might be a drug dealer in the West.
I know, well.
Might be someone who's got a lot of cash on hand.
I know, and they're like, here, there's that, and then there's a wee bit of extra for you. I did a wedding in Spain there during the summer of last year.
For two
gentlemen. And outside of Madrid, in Toledo, about an hour outside of Madrid. So I spoke in Spanish and English, and because the Phoebe's marrying a Spanish fella. And I was like, I'd love to get married. I wouldn't have a fucking drag queen at my wedding. I love you as a stand-up comic. Come and be awkward as fuck.
Oh God,
make me laugh. Do you ever get it's completely going the opposite direction, but get in comedy in drag, right? There's sometimes we'd be at a show and you'd have other drag off duty drag queens or up and comers. I'm doing the rabbit ears here.
Like open micers? Like open mic drag queens?
Open mic drag queens just start. Actually, it's an open on a Thursday night.
There would have to be. Like, they have to start somewhere.
We used to do one years ago, myself and Rusty Hinges and the Maverick. It was like open stage. You'd come along. We were music on a CD. This is how we're talking time here. Like.
Wow, yeah.
And then you could get up and perform. Now they do it on a Thursday night in the Maverick, and it's open stage. So if anybody's never done it before, it's like, go for it.
Right.
And I'm like, wow.
Does that happen every week?
Every single Thursday, yeah. So it's like
I might call down one night just to watch.
I'll dress you up and you go do it.
Oh God, no.
Nobody will know who you are.
I couldn't.
This is Amanda Boutlair.
Absolutely.
Nobody would know without name. Like, who the fuck's Amanda Boutlair?
Well, if you reverse my Arn backwards, it's Nora. Maybe I could be Nora. Nora Realtub. That's Arn Butler backwards. I could be Nora Realtub.
Nora Realtub?
That's a good drag. That's a bad drag name. It's good. No, I always, we joked about the drag names before, like Booby Sands and
I listened to that.
Yeah.
I found very, very funny. Shane's podcast or like Booby
Sands
Dave's
or something. Yeah, Booby Sands was one. Edwin Fruits was one. Paul Gimp Maskey, that was another one. Anna Low Tits.
Anna Low Tits. She's dead.
Yeah, I mean, her tits are low. I didn't kill her.
Her tits are very low. I didn't kill her. I know people do. Guess who's dead?
It's also if like you make a joke about someone and they are dead and they're going, I can't believe. And she's like, I didn't kill the fuckers. Like, you know what I mean?
Something's like, oh, I can't believe Michael Jackson's dead. Like, He's been dead for fucking years.
Yeah, he's been dead for fucking 15. Is it 15 years?
Very long time.
Yeah, 2009.
That was another one of my old drag looks. I used to do my
MJ.
I done it for Halloween one year and looked great, but it was only like in certain lights. And
jacket and all, yeah.
Wasn't really. I thought it was just an old red jacket. It was terrible, but I thought I looked the dog's balls at the time. I think I could do it better now with the makeup and really be like fucking.
Yeah, really hone it in.
He.
You were talking about open micers and stuff there. What was that leading on to?
See, this is where tangents in this fucking podcast.
It's good to talk.
It does get you places. Would you ever find you comedians would somebody or starting would come and sit in the front or sit near a show and just be like, oh,
do you know what,
straight face, not laugh, like
not as much these days. It used to happen probably like in the early days. I'm talking like 2009 to like 2011. There was a real, especially the Pavilion on a Monday night, there was a real vibe of like, we're only going to laugh at our mates. We're not going to laugh at like anyone else not in this little circle. And there's loads of that and stuff like that. But that no longer exists now. And I think it's a much more supportive place. And you would probably find that more than anything, they would be maybe the first people to laugh at stuff now.
I know. They're more supportive. I found that for a while, we used to get a lot of queens who would come to shows and would just sit and stare at you. They wouldn't clap, wouldn't do anything. Yeah. And I'm like, so I go backstage with the other ones, we have fucking fodder in the front row, and I come out like, I go back and go fucking mental with egg in my hand, with no wig on, fucking throwing the wig across the room and all, dressed as fucking Danny Zuko. There was one night I was having an argument with something, fucking, I was dressed as Danny from Grease, just in a pair of like black leggings, black t-shirt, with a weird ass wig, and was like, and then 2 minutes later, please welcome to the stage. I got chills. Just literally from argument to that. I was like,
just flick it straight on and off.
It is literally like, you come through the curtain. I'm like, good afternoon. The voice all changes.
It's like
radio voice tonight, live on the show. It's me, Roxy, with the fantastic. And they're like, so anyway, what were you saying? Changes.
There is quite a parallel similarities to the drag scene and the comedy scene in some ways, especially when you like have like these open micers and people starting off and then progression and people, you know, going to the next level and stuff like that. How long would it take like an open mic drag queen person to like really find their way and like maybe like start to like really get involved and be a part of the scene and then get past, say for example, like an Anya Bex. Anya Bex, we I remember my friend did the documentary on Anya Bex when they were just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really, like, I remember Anya being, like, really on it and really, like, addicted and, like...
Still is. She's still fantastic. Is.
Passionate, like, real passionate.
Very, very
about
passionate.
It.
Making stuff from scratch. Like, always turning out the outfits. Everything. I'm like, fuck, you can sew and everything. I can't sew fuck all.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
Like small hands from China that can do a lot of work for me.
Because I just pay
the money. It arrives at the door with Royal Mail and I go, that fits. If it doesn't fit, we'll sell it on for twice the price.
It's called
bad selling. That's why everything you look at here is, it came with the family.
Yeah.
And then I've put them up and they all live in the street now. I like to do my work for the children.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, it can take sometimes you see something like myself, I would see something and somebody go, you're not doing this just for a bit of crack for a couple of weeks. You actually want to do this as something to do. It's kind of like I'm into comedy at the minute. Like,
yeah,
no problem.
There's a lot of that.
You can see through it.
Yeah.
What's real, what's not.
Yeah, you're like, I know that you only want to do this to get popular and get like likes and stuff. And it's like,
Or somebody told you on TikTok from your rancher gag you should do comedy. It's like, no, you shouldn't. You should go back to begging for fucking clout.
Yeah, dirty clout.
That's something I scroll through TikTok and look at these people in their beds, their hair not washed for 3 days, and go, why are people giving their good money to this lazy big bent?
There's TikTok is such a revelation because it's exposed like some of the best things in the country, but also some of the maybe the worst things. And it's like
stuff.
It's like you get what I kind of like about it is you get a real spectrum of like, oh, this is what the real Northern Ireland is like. This is
like the likes of the Working Class podcast. They bring all the
whiffs
and strays.
Yeah, they're an interesting bunch of lads. Like. In some ways I give them credit because they found an audience and there is people that tune into it every week.
Why?
And so like you go, yeah, well there's a market for that.
Chazzy Shankill and Anna, I was gonna say Anna Lowe.
Well, flipping Chazzy Shankill, RIP.
I know, legend herself. And on with the three teeth. Think of all the cans he opened in them teeth. Fucking brilliant lad. Them teeth were doing loads of work. Foxy around the Sandy Row area. Them teeth have actually helped take the Boyne Bridge down bit by bit. It's like that one tooth, a chiseler. It's like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, you're doing brilliant, son. Well done. That's how he's getting his drug money. Anyway, it's allegedly.
Allegedly.
It's Anna Christian, actually, they had on as well. Not Anna Lowe. Too busy talking about Anna Lowe.
Anna, the nun who's got a...
She was a character.
Yeah, I you know, I watch these people and it makes me feel a wee bit sad sometimes.
Makes me feel good about myself. I'm like, I'm actually doing all right.
Yeah, in perspective, yeah.
Are you running about the town in a bed sheet?
Yeah. I go, you know what, life's not too bad. I'm doing all right. Yeah. Whenever you have like imposter syndrome and stuff, you're like, oh, do you know what?
Yeah, like, am I actually doing this? I came to the audit. You'd warmed up for Shane's Odyssey in the SSE. Sorry, not the Odyssey. It was the SSE. Odyssey,
that was SSE. The Tea with Me podcast one.
That was indeed. Yes,
I found that one hard. That was difficult for me. Like,
how does it feel to be up in it? I know. As I say, I've done places like the Mac and yeah. Thing. I'm like, it's every time I go bigger, and I'm like, fuck. But when it goes that big, you're like, Jesus, is it like you don't see anybody or? It's, you only see the front row.
So I've done the SSE twice now. Second time I did it was with Kieran Bartlett, and I had a much better time and had a great set then.
But I must say, Kieran Bartlett, fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Sure, absolutely.
Days Week Dirties.
That's what he calls his wife. Her knickers. He'll hate me for saying that, by the way.
Fuck, if he listens to this to hear that, I would be all biz. I'm like, would you come and play guitar with my back room, Kieran?
Oh, look, someone will send it to him, I'm sure.
I have a couple of outfits he could get into. I'd love to do him up. He'll look gorgeous.
I did it with, yeah, so you went to the one I did with Shane's podcast.
I think I've been at both, actually, to be honest.
Oh, okay, then fair enough. Now,
I follow you around.
That's fine. Do you know, it's funny, I'm very blissfully ignorant, and I try to be anyway, because I think it's just the way I like to be, but I think I went out to the National for the first time, like maybe in 2022 or something, after like lockdown, after all the podcasts had taken off and stuff, I guess, and I was like, oh shit, like, I'm actually getting people coming up to me much more than I thought that would.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh shit. Like, people.
Overwhelming.
It was just like, more people know me than I think, and I should probably pay a bit more attention to that in some respects, you know?
I always remember years ago whenever I first started writing, then people knew who I was and were coming to talk to nights out, and I was like, hello?
And do you know what the mad thing about that is? Is that they maybe have talked to you before and you just haven't remembered the experience, but to them, it's been like a real memorable thing, and I feel bad about that because I get people doing it to me as well. Like,
I met you. People tell me there's something about in drag queens, they come up to you and maybe it's yourselves as well. You're just catching, like, I watched your show, spread out, my granny had died, it just brought me. And I'm like,
oh, you get a bit of that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Get a bit of that, and you get some messages of people being like, you helped me for a hard time and stuff, which I think is beautiful. And
I love that. I'm so glad that I could do that for you, because with my weird ass sense of humor and fucking shit that's all over the place, like, is this podcast that's been going for a year, the people have listened to it. Yeah. It makes me laugh so much in work, and it gets me through the day. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm helping out.
Right.
In ways, shapes, and forms that I didn't know I'm doing, but fuck me, great.
But yeah, performing at the SSE is like, nothing can prepare you for it. You're obviously nervous backstage. You're, you know, it's just a surreal thing to be like, oh, there's 6,000 people out there, or whatever it was, and you're just like, but then you also have this moment of perspective where you go, well, here's the thing. Whether you go out there and you have the best gig of your life, or you trip over and fall on your face, or you die in your hole, or you say a joke that doesn't go well, regardless of what happens when you're out there in that 10 minutes or whatever it is, you're still just going to wake up and have breakfast tomorrow. You're still just going to be in your house. Still, like, nothing's going to change in that way. So,
not really.
In that respect, you maybe shouldn't overthink or panic about it and just go out and do your thing at the end
get
of the day.
There's times I would be getting ready for gigs. I find it getting into the unknown. You're like, that's right, it's going to be unknown. Sometimes you're like, and I'm like, have a shoddy Jägermeister,
a anxiety,
and a fucking orange. And I just find as soon as you get out there, it disappears.
Do
you ever need a pish before you go on stage? And as soon as you go out, it disappears.
Happen,
As a drag queen, we were obviously numbers, and I'm on stage off, on and off, on and off. And I'd be like, fuck, I need a pish. And as soon as you go on, the stage's gone. I'm like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, fucking hell, get me in the door. I'm going to actually pish myself at the front door once.
Maybe a prostate issue. You might be getting up there, and you might need to check that out.
I was coming home, and I was like, I'm going to piss myself in the back of this taxi. Oh my God, got the door, couldn't get the key. Drop the keys and just pitch myself. I'll have to put the tights and the shoes in the bin.
I'm glad you at least put them in the bin. That's
actually, they're doing it for sale. Like, anybody want these pitched out shoes?
I bet someone will figure it out.
There's a market out there.
For sure.
Cabin crew.
There's perverts.
Cabin crew girls' shoes and tights. The ladies I wear. Really? Sell them. There's fellas that love them. And I'm like,
wow.
The fuck? So when the shoes are completely fucking done, with like bin juice and all, and everything, from carrying the rubbish and all of the plane, the shoes are fucking done. They look like they've been attacked. And then the girl's like, they're getting sold on Cabin Crew Shoes or Cabin Crew Tights or something.com.
Wow.
Full site dedicated to it. And these fellas, I'm like, why the fuck am I not selling my drag tights?
You should.
I know. They're fucking broken.
The
them girls, they can have them washed or whatever they want.
Yeah. So fells, when they get the shoes, are they just sniffing them? Is that their thing?
I think so. Because, I mean, they're only a size 4. You wouldn't get fuck all in them. Like, you wouldn't be able to walk around the house in a size 4. Yeah. Clark shoe. But I think that is the idea. Like,
that's mad.
That is...
Each their own.
Each their own.
I'll not judge anyone's,
in my
you know,
head, I'm like, I can just picture this fella with a pair of tights, like, just trailing around his neck, choking himself from the door handle, like, oh.
Well, that definitely happens for sure.
That definitely. I'm like, oh, I love fucking cheese and ham toasties. I'm like, freak bacon roll. I'm like, ugh, dirty bastards.
Yeah. Oh, the SSE, sorry, I still haven't answered your question.
I know we're still...
when you go out to the stage, you don't see anything. And what's weird is you're just performing to, like, a black void.
Yep.
It's very, very weird. Like, you obviously have probably had experience of stage lights yourself where, like, you can't see anything.
You can't see.
But this is, like another level. This is like being in your own mind almost. It's kind of a weird experience. You can see the stage and the ground.
And the stage is fucking massive.
Well, that's another thing. Like,
all of this spin, you're like,
the stage is like the size of a 5-a-side court where you're like, you'll notice a lot of comedians when they do it for the first time stand, like, still because they almost... have never, like, when we perform in places like the Empire, Lavery's, whatever it is, stages aren't that big. Yeah. So then when you get a big stage, you almost don't know how to use it.
Because I do walk around a lot. Like, when I'm talking, I dander.
I do as well. Like, I try to.
I'm trying to move around. Go, oh, look over here.
Yeah.
But I was in the Montella Hall, actually. We were doing a show. And I was like,
that's a big stage.
That's a big stage. And I was like, me and this fucking thing. I was like, what do I do? Just dancing this 4x4 square and hope for the best. I'm like, But mass. It's just like, oh my God.
It's a big room. I performed there recently. I did a few support and I've did their comedy club and stuff like that. Mandela Hall's a bit of a sad tale because the old Mandela Hall used to be epic for comedy. It used to be like the venue people wanted to play.
And
now they've rebuilt it. And the room now is just, it feels cold, it's too big, it's like square, it's like an assembly
room.
Lovely
dressing room though, because Trudy Scrumptious actually done a night of 1,000 Madonnas last year, and so we're all Madonna. That's where their roses and all came from, so we're Madonna fucking stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was Isla Bonita, a Spanish doll, coming out with fucking roses, and that stage was huge. I'm like, holy good fuck, amazing.
Who was the last version of Madonna? The current version of Madonna, that's not the one you want to pick from the hat.
Like, fuck, it had to use prosthetics and all, like her face shape. It's like,
it's like a Bo Selecta mask.
It's like a 50p.
It's shiny.
What sort of face do you want? Like a 50 pence piece.
Yeah.
All the fucking shape.
Is she going out with a young fella?
I couldn't tell you.
I know Cher's going out with like a 39-year-old guy.
Oh, fuck. She's still on life support. Brilliant. Go ahead, Cher.
Sure. Fucking, I'm a big fan. Look,
I think she's amazing. And then have you heard the Northern Ireland tribute act for her? And the wheelchair?
Sorry.
It's one of my jokes on stage. Okay. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, Northern Ireland.
I thought that was a real thing.
Like, what? I was like, oh my God, rolling in Memphis and all this. And I've been rolling in Memphis. Wheelchair. I would love to see somebody in a wheelchair doing that. I'd be like, that's a fucking on top market right there. In your shit, break. Like, what? It's like, hits like Rolling in Memphis.
Yeah.
Other one, the Dark Lady. What's Disabled Lady, Laughed and Danced.
You Turn Back Time.
I Turn Back Wheels.
You Turn. The
Wheelchair. Yuck, again, brain loss. I keep doing that. It happens quite a lot to me. So yeah, you went to Uganda, and in your comedy special, the bit that I love the most is it's so sad and terrible. But on the other hand, then you're just people walking around in t-shirts that have been donated.
Oh, they were, yeah. And like, I think there was more to that joke that I didn't put in because it wasn't quite working. I'm trying to remember what it was, but I remember.
But it's just the people donate your clothes.
Yeah, so you get the bag sent to your door, you donate your clothes, and then they do go out to Uganda, and so. So that was me seeing the result of it firsthand.
I've seen someone TikTok these kids in ones, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? But it was like, you'd wrote some fellas walking along getting water, just says Sheila's Hindu on the t-shirt.
It does. It's got like Mickey Mouse ears on it and stuff, and then you've got like the boys in the Celtic kits, and you're like, oh, that must be the supporters club out here in Uganda. And then like, there was a few other ones as well. I can't remember what it was, but there was like people wearing like R. Kelly t-shirts and stuff, and they're like, I don't think the news has gotten out here yet that he's not a good guy.
He's famous. T-shirt on.
Yeah. But man, the outfits are funny. Like
I did laugh. Guys, if you're actually listening to this, it is available on YouTube. Free comedy. Free. You don't have to pay no money.
I
know. It is.
What a delight.
Africa, and I tell you what, you fucking laugh. You really will.
Did you like the bit about the gay guy messaging me?
Oh, I for
did good, I keep that in? I think
it's
I
in there. And for a good 10 minutes, I was like, was that me?
Was that me?
I was like, I used to text him, oh, you're lovely.
No.
You sure you're not gay? No, I'm not. Leave me alone.
I promise it wasn't about you. But there was a legit gay guy who sent me a picture, and I was like,
just,
oh, shit.
Inundated? Like, would you fuck off?
I was just like,
ugh. Sometimes being too nice, just like, would you fuck off?
I am too nice. That's the problem. Like,
fuck off. I'm not interested.
It's ugly. I do just block or like mute or report or whatever it is. Like, I don't go.
Thank God you never muted me.
I don't get
it. I got to hear the day. I was like, thank God.
I don't get into fights if people are hanging out. I think I'm not that level of, you know.
I know. I just sometimes when people write in comments, you know, I'm being advertised for something, say the Balmore, and you get these fans, it's a fucking disgrace. I'm like, fuck up, you're a disgrace. I go into their profile, get a picture of them, and go, that's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
Keyboard warriors.
Oh, the keyboard, man, that fucking, yeah. That's tough to deal with in this day and age. Like,
you'd be sitting just like, oh, this is great. And then go, look at the state. That's a pedophile. I'm like, get the fuck up.
I know.
How the fuck is it a pedophile? That's when I'm on. I'm going to find out where you live and come to your house, stick my dick through your letterbox, you cunt. Fucking pedophile, you fucker. Can't stand that when you're getting fucking mixed up with these fucking weirdos. I'm like, just because I wear women's clothes and stick my dick on my back doesn't mean I fuck all your kids fucking ugly. I'm no interest.
The Uganda,
I love the t-shirts, actually. That made me laugh so much. The fella tortured, did he just disappear into the abyss?
What guy? Oh, the gay guy. I think I just had to mute him, so he maybe still messages me and I just haven't.
Oh my god, what your request? I see if I know the name. I'm like, who the fuck is
it? It doesn't even come through there anymore. It's one of those. I might have just straight up blocked, to be fair. Like,
no more. Folks, if anybody wants to send a dick pic, please do. And if you want to send a tit pic, and ladies, if you're listeners, if you're lesbian, send a tit pic straight over.
Look here. He shot a shot. He tried his best. You know, there's maybe different ways to do it.
Maybe there's different ways to do it. Don't torture
different
me.
Ways to go about it. It does remind me that, because I have friends who are obviously, you know, from the gay community. And
I love yours. I have friends, you know, how
I know. I'm trying to be very politically correct. I've gay mates.
This isn't politically correct on this podcast. I don't care.
That's the problem with me now these days, that I'm always second guessing everything I'm saying, because I'm going, in 5 years' time, someone's going to pull this out of a clip and fucking try cancel my career.
See, this would be me. I'm like, I could end up doing, I don't know. People would you not go to RuPaul's Drag Race? Like, no.
Why would you not do it?
No interest in it. It's the fan base are fucking insane.
Okay.
See, the people that watch it, they're mental. They're like, her dress, that wig. So much to say, but don't do it. They've never ever set foot on a stage. They just...
Well, comedy's like that as well. People have a lot of opinions about comedy, but actually haven't.
You're as funny as a fucking shite coming through a cheese grater. Fuck off.
Yeah.
But it's these people drag. I know. And I was like, you don't. You sit in the front row like that. We face tripping it, you're a cunt.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put myself through that mental, because I already have enough fucking mental problems with anxiety and whatnot.
But one of my gay friends is obviously on the Grindr app. The famous and
Grindr.
He would show me the messages he gets on it, and Grindr goes hard. Like, there's no chill with Grindr.
There's no foreplay.
There's no.
You want fisted?
Excuse me. It's
4 o'clock in the Monday afternoon. You want fisted?
Yeah.
What?
Here's the dick. Here's the arsehole. Which one are you interested in?
Fellas like sitting in an afternoon on a Monday, Tina. What's that drug called? It's called Tina. I don't know what it is.
It's a drug.
Crystal meth, is it? One of these ones you inject high and horny. Oh. I'm like, on a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Have you nothing better to do?
Well, is it a drug that makes you sexually aroused?
It just makes you fucking... I'm Google Tina. Let's bring me up Tina Turner. I'm like, no.
I'm going to learn some stuff here.
Crystal meth, yes. So playing and partying with crystal meth or Tina might be fun and manageable. It's about like a chaotic sound. This is London Friend. It must be about getting off your tits now. Basically, it just lowers your inhibitions and you just turn into a real whore. I wouldn't be into that at all. Not my kind of thing. But this is sort of in the middle of the afternoon. I'm like, why are you off your tits on drugs in the middle of the afternoon? I mean, each to their own again. As always.
My friend was doing the documentary series on the, you know, gay community here. He did burrs and stuff like that, and one of the burrs he was following arranged a Grindr meetup in a lunchtime off work. So he's like,
of an hour here.
So he was like, I've like 30 minutes here. We've booked Benedict's Hotel, and there's three of us going to all just, you know, fucking get off of each other and then go back to work.
I'm not paying 170 quid for a hotel to leave.
I want the night. I want the breakfast the next morning.
Benedict's
I want...
as well. I'm like, I know. What about the Hilton? Top? It's only £49 a night.
I know.
Less fucking money out of the bank. But I'm like, no, with none of you, go to your own fucking house. Yeah. No, just go to a hotel and make a bed. Oh, mad. I sound like a real fucking prude. I'm like, no, that's not my game.
Again, to each their own. They're into.
I'm more like Ned Flanders at the end of bed. Like, let's pray, and then we'll get into bed in our pyjamas. I'm like, right, that's enough. Good night. Okay. It's like when you touch once a year.
But that's it. People have this perception that, like, oh, gay guys must be just edit constantly, blah, blah, blah. You're like, they're just normal people. Like, I'm sure there's probably some that are more sexually charged than others, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, although my door never gets knocked because of drag. People must think I'm dressed like a 24/7 as well. And yeah, on Grindr, I just get a message, all right, Roxy. I'm like...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off. I know, this isn't the place for this. I'm trying to find my husband, not to fucking be heckled.
But then straight guys must be like...
Oh, you get tortured by them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, straight. I'm using the term straight very loosely here.
Oh, fuck. There was one recently on my Instagram. It was like, do you want to pee my sugar baby or whatever they say? Is it TikTok or Instagram, was it? And I was like, can I help you? I just wrote, but can I help you? And he was like, I pay for everything. I was like, tell me how. Because I was going to be like, right, go.
Yeah.
Here's like... this footless fucking spiel. Hello, pretty. So I'm like, yes, fellas, definitely English is not the first language. I would like to extend an offer to become your financial benefactor. Benefactor spelled wrong. And provide you with the support you may need. I believe that you deserve to be taken care of, treated like the queen that you are and have the opportunity. And I was like, yes, how will you do this? Good, thanks so much for taking your precious time to write back. I saw your profile and was like, ah, oh, very beautiful lady. I was like, right. All it entails is being my sugar baby and makes you happy. Keep my company when I'm online. Make me smile. Be loyal. Say funny things. No sexting or nudes. I was like, well, that sounds all right. So I'm like, I've never had a sugar baby before. How do you get this and it's not a spam? I made a vow to God in heaven that I'm going to help everybody that comes in contact. I was like, good night.
Well, you lost them there. Yeah.
Nah, you lost me there, son. Sorry. But I was going to be like, here's my third PayPal account that if you do hack it, there's no money on it.
Oh.
Give me money.
I knew a girl years ago who... was like had a guy on her Snapchat that was like he got off on sending her money but for nothing. It was called like financial domination or something like that, and he was like she didn't have to do anything in return. He was just like, yeah, this makes me feel humiliated and stuff, and he just would send her like 90 quid on a night out and stuff. It's like madness.
For anybody who wants to send me money here ask my people,
by the way. Yes, if anyone just wants to randomly send me money and I don't have to do anything in return,
we'll take it.
Please, if it makes you feel better.
I'll set up on a PayPal or a Venmo or something. I'm like, would you send me an arm money? We'll split it in the middle. It's like after this episode.
Yeah.
Our new business.
Yeah.
Like, send us money.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? And you could send us pictures out of some Russian doll. I'm like, that's me. I'm like, sure. My name is Vrushkonshka. We're a fucking cunt. Give me all your money. I'm like, all right, well. But yeah, that is a thing. Like, I'm just send you money. I'm like, right.
People
like,
are into what they're into. I'm not going
to
shame.
You must have money to burn if you want to give it away. Like,
or you're just stupid and dopey as fuck.
Could be.
Is also another thing.
I don't know. As it's a running thing. Whatever you want to do is what you want to do, for fuck's sake.
Each their own.
Love that. But yeah, before we go, there was one thing in the podcast which I was talking about earlier on. But it's like, tell me about your granny's cat, Martin McGuinness.
Oh, wow, yeah. Now, here's the beauty of comedy is this. Number one, taking real-life events and turning them into something that is, like, art that happens on stage.
Fucking right.
And I've had stuff like that that's happened recently that I'm really excited about for my next show that I'm doing material for. But anyway, I remember there was one Christmas that we were all having, like, the family Christmas gathering, and we went around to Granny's house for a bit, and it wasn't Martin McGuinness at the time. It was, she thought that this cat that'd been hanging around her bungalow was a reincarnation of her friend's dead husband. And,
right.
And I then started making jokes about it, being like, oh, fuck, there's John, you know what I mean? Oh,
and stuff like that.
And then, now the problem is when you do stand-up, to get the context of her friend's dead husband would be very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
To put it, so I just called it Martin McGuinness
just
because it was just...
It's a reincarnation of Martin McGuinness.
Because it was just easier, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
yeah,
you'll get it straight away.
Yeah. So, yeah, that then became like a bit that I had a call back to and stuff like that in my show. And yeah, but it just basically played on the fact that old people do sort of have that old style of being like, oh, you know, they look into things more than they should. They're superstitious.
A white feather falls. That's my granny.
Yeah.
No, that's just... the pillows upstairs.
Literally. Yeah, the light goes off. There's our Daisy. You're like, it's just the electric.
You he loved light.
Yeah,
He loved playing the lights.
She thought this wee ginger house cat that was hanging around her bungalow was her friend's dead husband, which is strange on many different levels. Why is the cat not round the wife's house? That's where you should.
Where'd he come back as a cat?
Yeah,
like, he loved pussy, that fella. He loved pussy.
Yeah,
we just put him back in what he loved.
That would have been a good tagline if I would have thought about it.
He loved pussy. I love one of those callbacks in a show when you talk about something and it always comes back at the very end. I go, and I fucking boom.
You like a callback? I like to have callbacks, and I think a good show always has a nice callback on. I love it.
My recent one when I done the Black Box was always talk about people's orders on the plane. People go to me, can I get a sour cream and onion Pringles and a sparkling water? I'm like, that sounds like pure filth, like TV static and sarcasm. What does your mouth taste like? Yeah. So I was going on about this for the whole fucking thing, and at the very end, I just said something. I was like, "I tell you what, I'm away for sour cream, pills, and a salted water. Good night." And I pulled it out of the boom, put it on the top.
Good night.
And they were like, "Wah." Yeah. So people still come up to me and go, what about a sour cream and salted water? I was like, get the fuck dirt.
And then it starts annoying.
I think still think it's very good. You listen.
That's true, actually.
Listen to the shit that comes out of my mouth.
They're paying attention.
They really are. And here, what about Shane Dodd being called out by Conor Burns?
So I don't know an awful lot on this. I do get the Conor Burns TikTok videos coming up on my For You page where
ladies only.
He just keeps calling Shane rubber nose pancake face.
Rubber nose pancake face?
I haven't spoke to Shane about it. I can imagine Shane is probably not interested.
Shitting himself?
Worried. Terrified.
It was being called to go to where? This Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is that when the fight is?
Oh, well, yeah. It's been arranged. The Empire, to the Empire, maybe, or some sort of
Ulster
venue.
Hall, I think.
Ulster Hall. Is he performing there or something this weekend?
Shane? No. I think that's where the boxing fight is happening, where Conor Burns wants to fight him at. That's what it is.
I would go to that. I would go and watch. I think I'd be a good laugh.
Well, I have a funny feeling Shane's not going to show up that night, so I don't know who.
I'll show up.
I don't know who. You, maybe you fight Conor instead.
Fully dressed up. Like, right to be bought with that big fucking feather hat on up there.
You should fight Conor Burns.
Slaps.
I'd love to. I have a good chance.
I think he'd bite me or something. I'd be worried.
He might, like, and you don't want to get the Burns rabies.
You don't want to get the Burns bite. Coming back from it.
Transform you into him.
Just run the bit up at Fort William.
He's a character.
He's a fucking character, all right. Belfast has their characters.
There's a lot of characters.
That's what makes it lovely.
That's it.
But Aaron, thank you for coming along the Laundry Room Podcast. Your washing's done.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here. Let's do it again sometime for sure.
I always do a second spin as well after a while. Class. I'm like, come back, tell us what's going on, and I will listen to your second comedy. And like,
when I have my next show to promote,
I'll
be straight on here.
That's what it works.
I hope that I've gained a new fan base from the gay community.
Come on, guys, get on there. Give me a follow. How do we follow?
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all Aaron Butler Online. LinkedIn, I do post on LinkedIn. Aaron Butler Online. You can find me it's easy to find people these days. Their name in.
That's it. The odd, if you do see it on Grindr, it's not him.
It's just a catfish.
Just me.
I've had those.
Don't fuck. Nobody wants to catfish this face. I'm all right. Use the drag one, no problem at all. Still haven't got that yet, but hey ho. Folks, once again, thank you for listening. You are amazing. Keep on keeping on. Don't forget, the 27th of February is the Laundry Room Live. We have only got about, at this time of chatting, about 12 tickets left. So grab the last ones, and if you don't get them, shit one. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Love yous loads. And if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window, because your mazzer here. Bye.